It's hard to know who to trust anymore. Many so-called conservatives in the media are either ideologically lukewarm or they're outright shills for the establishment. But when you listen to J.D. Rucker Live, you know you'll get a fearless, America First perspective that is based on a biblical worldview. Here's J.D. Rucker.
You know, as bad as things look here in the United States of America in 2022, we can take solace in knowing that at least the White House isn't going to brag about how much money they're saving us for the 4th of July weekend like they did last year. For those of you who don't recall, last year was an absolute just debacle. It was a total embarrassment for them. Even then, when they had some, I guess you could call it positive news, on July 1st, 2021, they had tweeted, planning a cookout this year? Catch up on the news. Oh, they're so funny. According to the Farm Bureau, the cost of a 4th of July barbecue is down from last year. It's a fact. You must hear or have heard a hot dog, the Biden. My gosh. Okay, I mean, look, sometimes you just go for the puns. You go for the dad jokes over and over again because it's the effect. I guess that's what they're going for. Hot dog, the Biden economic plan is working. And that's something we can relish. Oh, good one. Good with three zingers right in there. And what they were bragging about, of course, for those who don't recall, is that compared to the previous year, 2021, the cost of a 4th of July cookout was down 16 cents from 2020, down 16 cents. They're talking about how center cut pork chops were down 2% and cheese was down 1% from the previous year. They were so excited about this 16 cents. Now, even leftist media called them out for it. You know, it was an embarrassment. It was ill-advised. Okay. What they were trying to say is, oh, you know, everybody's talking about inflation and how food prices are going up. Actually, they're going down, you know, not by much, but at least they're going down by a little bit. That was the intention here. And that's why they used puns. And that's why they did what they did. I don't expect, and let me double check, because you never know with the Biden regime. I don't expect they're going to be tweeting much about that. Let's see. Most recent tweets, Biden convenes a virtual meeting with governors to discuss efforts to protect access to reproductive health care. Okay. That was the only tweet today. Yesterday, let's see. President Biden's call for a federal gas tax holiday has overwhelming support from American people. Congress should pause the federal gas and diesel tax for 90 days to help families pay less at the pump, and states should find ways to deliver additional relief. I mean, I know we're not talking about gas prices for today's show, but my gosh. Number one, yeah, as many, many economists, including those on the left, have said, gas tax holidays don't really do much. They just don't have the desired effect. They are public relations ploys, which is what they're doing there. But then even in the same tweet, they happen to point their fingers at two different directions. Number one, at Congress, Democrat-controlled Congress, and then number two, at the states. I mean, this regime, you know, I went into 2022 thinking that things were going to be bad. I had no idea. I really had no idea that this regime could be this bad. Notably, there are no tweets about the upcoming 4th of July or the 4th of July weekend or cookouts or saving 16 cents. And the reason for that is because nobody's going to be saving money on their cookouts this 4th of July. You know, I am not a fan of Dr. Mehmet Oz. I've made that crystal clear even on this show. But he put out a tweet today that's very telling, and I don't know if he was the source of it. You know, I don't know if he took this from somewhere else or if his team put it together or what happened, but it's a good tweet. It's let's get this up on the screen for those watching the video. It says the 2022 July 4th costs, and it compares 2021 costs of very popular summer cookout items to the 2022 costs. So we've got 8 hamburger buns. 2021, they were $1.66. 2022, they're $2.58. It's a 55.4% increase. 2 pounds of ground beef, which happened to be one of the items that they were bragging about dropping in price last year. Okay. 2 pounds of ground beef was $8.20. Now $9.14, up 11.5%. 2 pounds of chicken breast was $6.47. Now up to $9.48. That's a 40.7% increase in chicken. 2.5 pounds of potato salad was $2.75. Now $3.75. 36% increase. 1 pound of sliced cheese, another item they bragged about last year, being down 1%. Now, then it was $4.05. Now it's $4.98, up 23%. Half gallon of vanilla ice cream, again, they bragged about that. It was $4.69. Now it's $7.44, up 58.6%. Let me repeat that just in case you guys weren't paying enough attention. We're talking about a half gallon of vanilla ice cream. Popular item for 4th of July weekend festivities, right? Was $4.69, now $7.44, up 58.6%. And then to round out the list, 2.5 quarts of fresh lemonade was $3.65, now $4.18, up 14.5%. So the change last year, they were bragging about saving 16 cents. This year, the total for these items, you're looking at $31.47 last year versus $41.55 this year, over a $10 increase. One third increase in the cost of these particular items. And that's not even, I mean, you could have gone for a much bigger list. You could have gone after many, many other items that have gone up in price dramatically. Now, a lot of people know this is still, for whatever reason, despite its unpopularity, the Biden regime still continues to say, oh, these are the Russian, the Putin price hikes, the Putin inflation. Folks, just in case you've been haven't been paying any attention, inflation has been here since long before Russia invaded Ukraine. Now, did that have an effect? Absolutely. But you can't say that they are just the Russian price hikes. And perhaps more importantly, the reason that these price hikes are happening as a result of the Russian invasion is not because of Russia directly. It's because of the sanctions that the United States and other Western nations have placed on Russia. They have fought back. And again, I always have to repeat this every show. I'm not a Putin apologist. I'm not a fan of Russia. I'm not going to defend their invasion of Ukraine. But let's attack them for what they actually have done, not try to divert all other attacks towards them just for the sake of political expediency. They did not cause this. Should they have invaded Ukraine? Of course, I don't believe that. I'm very much against that concept. I wish they would stop. Okay, I support the Ukrainian people. I don't support Vladimir Zelensky or the corrupt Ukrainian government that should have been able to stop this war, by the way, that have been had offers of peace they've rejected in recent months. I don't support them, but I do, of course, support the Ukrainian people. These are the real victims here. But now many in the Western world are being victimized by the economic turmoil that's caused partially by the invasion, because that does have an effect. There are those that say that Russia has nothing to do with it. I'm not one of those. But the bigger cause are the sanctions. These sanctions were supposed to, if you recall, they were supposed to crash the ruble, which has not happened. It happened temporarily for a few days. Biden even bragged about it when it did. But then the ruble rebounded. And now it's performing better than the dollar or the euro. So the sanctions were supposed to ruin the Russian economy. Instead, it's ruining our economy here in the United States of America. It's ruining other Western countries' economies. And they're getting hit worse than we are because they are even more beholden to Russian exports than we are. This situation that we find ourselves in, you know, I'm going to give you three things we need to do, right? One of them I've talked about many times. Now, let's just go ahead and start there, because for the first time in my life, I have to recommend something that I'm kind of against, or at least I have fundamentally been against in the past. And that is to take care of yourself. Okay. I'm a big fan of, hey, you know what? Let's make sure that you're secure, make sure that you got everything going, but let's fight the good fight as a group. Let's gather, let's protest, let's file lawsuits, let's win elections, let's do this as a group, as conservatives, as America First Patriots. Today, the best piece of advice that I can give anybody is to take care of yourself, take care of your family. It really is. you know, and those for those who are new to the show, and I appreciate you coming, make sure to subscribe. For those of you who are new to the show, you may not realize I've never been like this in the past. And if you watch past shows, you know, over a year old, you'll see that I was not calling, oh my gosh, the economy is going to collapse. You know, Chicken Little, sky is falling. I was not telling people to go buy 2 years worth of toilet paper. I've never been that kind of guy. Things have changed because the world has changed. America has changed. Now I'm ringing the alarm bells as loud as I can. Take care of yourself. Make sure that you have enough long-term storage food. Make sure that you have your cupboards filled. You know, one of the things that I always tell people is, you know, a lot of times people will go straight to, okay, well, if I guess I better go order buckets of food and get tons of rice. Yeah, that's fine. But make sure, I mean, the best place to fill up, the best way to prepare for food shortages, for massive inflation, for the potential for recession or even economic collapse, the best thing that you want filled are your pantry, your cupboards, your refrigerator, normal food. Make sure that's full first before you go out and buy buckets of freeze-dried food. You know, that stuff's supposed to last 25 years. That's awesome. Take care of the stuff that's going to get you fed for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, 2, 3, 4 months. That's what you need to get first. Okay, the average American household, at least as of a couple of years ago, it's probably less now, but at least as of a couple of years ago, the average American household had enough food to sustain them for approximately 2 weeks. And the funny part is, not funny, it's sad, they didn't have enough stored water outside of the faucet to sustain them for longer than 4 days, generally speaking. These are bad situations for Americans to be in, especially considering the current economic status. So I always say, make sure, first and foremost, fill up your cupboards, fill up your pantries, fill up your freezer. Make sure you're filling up your freezer with meat. If you've got two freezers, we have a secondary freezer, standalone freezer. We put only meat in there. I have breakfast burritos or enchiladas in there, okay? Because the most precious food items are going to be items such as meat. When the crap hits the fan, and it's already in the process of doing that, it's already starting. We saw chicken up, what, 40%? The meat's going to be the first to go. We're already seeing that. I mean, bird flu and food processing plants coming, being sabotaged. Cows dying in by the thousands randomly. It's going to happen. Now, the question is, are we going to be able to recover? Are we going to be able to create enough surplus? Are we going to be able to store enough away? Are our leaders going to do what it takes to make sure that we don't starve as a nation? I don't know that, and I don't trust them. So I'm not going to wait to answer that question before I get my own food supply situated. So you start with your cupboards. You start with your pantry, you fill your freezer, your refrigerator, make sure you're not wasting food. Don't get so much, you know, I had one guy say, you know what? I got what I thought was a month's worth of fresh vegetables, but half of them were rotted before I got to them. I'm like, yeah, that's because you got fresh vegetables. I'm not against fresh vegetables. I love fresh vegetables, but make sure that you're getting supplies that make sense. Okay. Canned goods make sense. They're not as good as fresh food. You know, make sure you got enough fresh food for a couple of weeks. Make sure you've got enough canned food for a few months, maybe even a year, 2 years. Make sure you have other types of items and then go to start filling up the long-term storage. Now, rice, beans, those are the two staples. Those are the things that I think everybody should be have a good supply of. Yeah, because you can use them today, you can use them tomorrow, you can use them next year, 25 years from now, depending on how much you get. You know, these are good foods, and they do create combined rice and beans at a 3-to-1 ratio, they do create a perfect protein, which is something that you know, most foods just do not do. So yeah, I am a big fan of rice and beans, but otherwise, you know, don't start stocking up on a whole bunch of long-term storage food until you have the short term covered, and then go to the medium term and then cover the long term. Now, for those who are ready, if you are ready to start getting your long-term storage food, this weekend is a great time to do it because there are sales at 2 of the 3 long-term storage food sponsors that we have. They're having 4th of July sales. I think they go on until maybe the 5th, maybe the 7th. So it's not like you have to run over and get them now, but I would probably suggest running over and getting them now. You can go to jdrucker.com/food. And 2 of those 3, we recommend 3 for various reasons. I've talked about it before. 2 of those 3 do have specials going on. Very good specials. I'm not just talking about, oh my gosh, you know, save 3%. On the Biden special, no, these are actually pretty decent savings. So go to jdrucker.com slash food. So that's piece of advice number one. That was the long one. I had to get that one out of the way because, again, yeah, I'm a big fan of taking action as a group, you know, getting our efforts and pulling them together and making changes. But to me, for the first time in my life, I'm recommending take care of yourself first. Second thing we need to do is to start really, truly sharing the truth, you know, and by sharing the truth, what I mean is that, you know, things that there's a lot of misinformation out there, as we all know. So just as an example, the idea that these are the Putin price hikes, people are going, if the Russian war ends, people are going to expect things to start to go back to normal. And that's just not going to happen. I mean, if Russia pulls out, if they decide tomorrow and they pull out of Ukraine all of a sudden and they say, okay, and the U.S. ends sanctions all of a sudden, and Russia says, okay, we're sorry, you know, buy our wheat and fertilizer again. And everybody's like, okay, yeah, you know, we don't want to, but we have to because, you know, we're starving too. If everything goes exactly perfectly, starting immediately, food shortages are still going to hit the United States of America. People have to understand that the regime, Democrats, far too many Republicans, corporate media, and pretty much everybody else who's talking about this are lying, or at least spreading disinformation about what's going to happen and how it's happening. So we need to spread the truth because people need to be woken up. People need to be aware. We need the masses to come out and really start saying, fix this. Okay? Fix this. We'll take care of ourselves. We'll get our own long-term source food. But as a nation, we want as few people as possible beholden to government for food, period. And the last thing to remember, you know, I'm not a fan. I've said it before. I'm not a fan of saying, oh, you know, we'll fix it during the elections. Not anymore. We have too many major issues that can't wait for the 2022 election or the 2024 election. Not to mention that I don't trust them. But with that said, we need to make sure that everybody is aware and remembers this, remembers what's happening this 4th of July, remembers what's happening throughout this month, throughout next month. Things are bad. And I would say at least 70% of the blame can be put on the Biden regime. 20% can be put on the globalist elites, the people outside of the United States who are pulling strings and making a lot of this stuff happen. And then 10% is on the feckless GOP. So it's not like I give them a pass. The vast majority of them are doing nothing or very little or nothing or nothing, pretty much nothing, a handful. But when we're talking about legislators, yeah, a handful is not going to cut it. It might work for Ron DeSantis in Florida. It might work in other areas from an executive perspective, but when it comes to legislators, you can't just have 3% of them being good and 48% of them being awful, and then another 49% being even worse. Okay, so you got Democrats, you got rhinos, then you got a handful of America First Patriots who are actually going to fight for what we need. We need that last group, which I would say accounts for about 3% of Capitol Hill. We need that to be 30% or 60%. So yes, there is some level of, we got to use these elections in 2022 if we can, if they're not stolen from us. We've got to use them to make things better. We really do. After the break, we'll talk a little bit further about, you know what? No, I'm going to save that to the end because that's another important one. After the break, we're going to talk about a video that I saw from, of all places, Anonymous, that really, really woke me up. It shook me. Maybe it'll shake you too, so stand by.
The current food crisis is only going to get worse. Now is the time to secure long-term food you can store at home so you'll never stand in the government's breadlines. Visit jdrucker.com/food. That's jdrucker.com/food. Do you trust the Biden regime to stop our economy from collapsing?
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Neither do we, which is why we highly recommend OurGoldGuy.com. IRA will help you purchase physical precious metals to preserve your wealth or retirement. Visit OurGoldGuy.com today.
So I think I'm supposed to declare up front that I'm not an economist. I hear a lot of people do that. I don't know if I'm required to say that, but I'll just go ahead and say it just in case. I am not an economist, and I am not a financial advisor. With that said, I'll tell you, things are looking pretty crappy out there right now, okay? And I'm smiling, but I'm not laughing. I'm smiling because of the absurdity of it all. I'm smiling and not laughing because, you know, sometimes you just have to semi-chuckle internally because of the lunacy, because some of the solutions that could save lives, literally save lives, or at the very least, save retirements, save wealth, save people from poverty, save people from homelessness, and of course the most important one of them, other than saving them from death, save them from being beholden to a tyrannical government, which for those who are new to this show and maybe not, they don't, you're still stuck in the dreamland, dreamtime concept that our government could never be tyrannical. They can be, and I would suspect that here in the coming months or years, they will be. They will show their tyrannical side to even those who don't believe that it's possible. So yeah, it bugs me, and I do smile and semi-chuckle because the solutions are there. They are. We can fix this. We as a nation, if our government, especially the federal government, would dramatically cut costs, if they would stop being so irresponsible, so selfish, so self-serving, so beholden to special interests. And in many ways, you know, we often talk about how it's special interests and lobbyists, they're just trying to line their own pockets. In some cases, I think it's actually worse than that. I think there's direct control. I think that people, just as I've said many times, I think, for example, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who may be Senate Majority Leader again after the 2022 election, I think that he is completely beholden to the Chinese Communist Party. I think they own him. I think they have whatever. They have dirt or some sort of control to where he does exactly, precisely what he's told. If they say round up 10, 12 senators on the Republican side to support gun control, he will do it. He'll say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, whoever. That's Mitch McConnell. And he's not alone. I think there's a lot of people like that on Capitol Hill. A lot of people like that in the White House bureaucracy. I'm not even talking about Joe Biden all the dirt they have on him through Hunter Biden and James Biden and just Joe Biden himself. I'm not even talking about him. I'm talking about everybody else. I mean, he's the worst of them all, of course. But with that said, you know, we see that there are solutions and they're not happening. There was a video that came out that was put out. I wish I knew the source of the video. The video itself was put out by anonymous official on YouTube. Yeah, I guess it's there. I don't follow anonymous. I'm very familiar with them, kind of, but I don't follow them. It just so happened to be recommended on, I don't even remember what I was looking for. I rarely go to YouTube. But it was actually my wife's or my son's YouTube that it got recommended for whatever reason. So I clicked on it and I watched it. It shook me. I wish I knew the source. I wish I knew who was talking. Some of you are going to recognize the voice and say, oh my gosh, duh, he's so stupid. It's probably the case. I probably am stupid because I know it's like, but I've always been bad with voices. You know, my wife makes fun of me because we'll hear like celebrity audio commercials, you know, where there's a celebrity voiceover. And she'll be like, do you know who that is? I'm like, gosh, no. You know, is that? It's like, that's Sam Elliott, like the most recognizable voice ever. Like, is it? Oh, yeah, I guess it kind of is. Yeah, so I'm bad at recognizing voices. But this one probably is very recognizable to most of you. I couldn't source it. I'm not going to try. The words are the important part. And this is, you know, again, for those who are new, I'm not a fearmonger, generally speaking. I don't like to share bad news. But if I keep saying that over and over again and then share bad news, and at some point, somebody's going to say, well, maybe you do like to share bad news. The reality is this. I just share the news. It just so happens that for the last few months, really for the last 18 months, it's been mostly bad. So there's that. Anyway, I'm going to play this video. And as you listen, I want you to keep two things in mind. Keep in mind diversity. And I'm not talking about diversity of, LGBTQA, whatever. No, I'm talking about diversity of your finances and precious metals. Think those two things, as you listen to this video from Anonymous. And again, I'm not a financial advisor, and I don't know if Anonymous is either. They're probably not. Maybe some of them are. Who knows? Stand by.
The cost of everything is up. Inflation has surged to levels we haven't seen in four decades.
8.6% year over year.
You have to go to 1982 to find a higher number.
With higher prices on food, to gas, to rent, inflation impacts everyone.
Inflation in the United States is rocking American consumers in ways not experienced for four decades. From the cost of renting homes to weekly grocery bills and, of course, the soaring price of petrol, inflation has hit spending here, with families across the country forced to make adjustments.
Most people think that cash is safe. Cash is the least safe investment. It just doesn't have the same volatility to it. In 1945, we began a new world order. 1944, we created a new monetary system, the Bretton Woods monetary system. And then we created that new world order, and that created a bull markets in stocks and an American world order for the most part. There's a cycle that we're used to, in which whenever you have an economic downturn, the central bank hits the gas and can create debt expansion, and that produces an increase in demand. And that happens in three phases of the cycle. Normally, it's interest rates. You lower interest rates and the economy turns up. But when you hit zero interest rates, which happened in 1932, debt crisis, 1932, we hit zero interest rates. Then you go to the second type of monetary policy, in which central banks print money and buy financial assets to add liquidity. And those purchases, those sellers of bonds who get the cash, go out and they buy other financial assets, and we have the process going through. And that's the second type of monetary policy. So the only two times that that happened was 2008 to 2009, 1929 to 1932, zero interest rates, print money, monetization. That'll carry you so far. And then there's what I call monetary policy three, which means that that money does not trickle down to the population and go all the places that it's needed to go. In other words, the coordination between fiscal and monetary policy, so that the central bank is buying assets of a different sort, a wide range of assets producing liquidity, and also having the effect of buying government debt and monetizing it. And that's the late cycle of an expansion. That's what's driving the markets now. That's what's driving the economy now. For example, today the Federal Reserve and the government is creating the liquidity that we're seeing in the markets. And it has big implications for the value of money. What is the value of money? Where does money go? Cash is going to be a poor investment. So it's the character of the environment, which means that if you look at the returns of asset classes and you take cash, isn't it an interesting world? When you have zero or negative interest rates. And then there's the desire to create a spread so that short-term rates are lower than long-term rates. And there's so much liquidity. It is the central bank that is making that market. So when we look at the market today, it needs the storehold of wealth, and you see it reflected in all asset classes. So that's the main driver. And it also has very big geopolitical implications. Because as we come into this environment where we have the second influence, the wealth gap, the political gap, it means that the distinction of how money and the bills are going to be divided and how that will affect tax policy and the like will matter a lot. I think it's very much like the 1930s, which means it doesn't produce immediately a general level of inflation. It negates deflationary pressures. And what it does is it produces currency depreciations over a period of time. In the 1930s, all currencies in the early 30s depreciated in relationship at that time in relationship to gold. And so what we see is the same kind of thing happening without a general level of inflation, but not just gold. It goes into other storeholds of wealth and stock, particularly certain types of stocks, very much the same as 1933. In 1933, March of 1933, Franklin Roosevelt severed the connection with gold, printed money, and made money available. And that was the exact bottom in the stock market. Very similar to April 9th when Federal Reserve and the Treasury did the same thing. So that goes into other assets such as stocks and so on, creates a reflation. It is necessary to be done because the consequences of not doing it are unacceptable. The wealth gap and so on. We're in a situation where every individual, every company, every government has a certain amount of revenue, a certain amount of expenses, and a certain balance sheet. And when the revenue goes down to be low or inadequate relative to the expenses, and there's not an adequate balance sheet, then defaults and restructurings take place. That's true for the population as a whole, and that's true for a number of businesses, hence the policies that we're seeing. What has been true in history is that when you have an economic downturn, that's a serious economic downturn, and less effective monetary policies at that same time, and you have a large wealth and values gap and political gaps, you tend to have fighting, internal conflict. And so rising internal conflict about how to divide the wealth pie is very, very normal historically. And so that's the dynamic, I think, that we're now seeing that will become manifest in changes in tax policy and so on. The investment environment going forward will be very different from the environment of the past. I mean, think about it as a zero and low, very low returning asset environment because the liquidity that's in the market is driving the excess returns of all markets down to be low in relationship to the very low cash rate. So negative real returns, not good for cash and so on. The most important thing is to know how to diversify well. And what I mean by that is to go beyond just the traditional 60-40 stock bond mix or even the same countries and to broaden that diversification. To include in that portfolio assets that might seem unusual, to include some gold, to include inflation index bonds, to think about the currency exposure, to think about safety as different. Most people think that cash is safe. Cash is the least safe investment. It just doesn't have the same volatility to it because they're producing so much cash. It has a negative real return. It's a tax that maybe 8% a year you lose money in terms of cash. So you have to think about risk differently and you have to diversify best. That's the most important thing, to have a well-diversified portfolio. So the uncertainties that we have today are so great in terms of all the things I mentioned, the tax policies, the geopolitical. Certainly we must experience it with the virus. You know, will the next wave come back and how will it be there? Diversification can be achieved without reducing your expected returns because of the way that asset classes are priced. And then if you're going to take tactical bets from those, then those tactical bets, alpha on top of that strategic, well-diversified portfolio, should have highly diversified bets deviated. Liquidity is going to be more important than before because things change in unexpected ways. Look at how, in many of the cases, the businesses that one would have thought was a good business, and let's say you're in private equity, you're with that company. And so the restructuring, the ability to rebalance and diversify and to be cautious about making a highly diversified set of bets is, I think, the future. But thinking even of asset classes, thinking about the value of money. You know, we look at asset classes and we say, oh, do I want my money to be in stocks and which stocks? But we don't think about stocks, bonds. We think about those traditional asset classes. But we don't think about the value of money and what's going to happen in terms of the printing of that value of the money and how to diversify it well. So I think those are the things that have to be paid attention to in much as they were important things in years prior to 1945. But the interesting thing about that is when you look about when interest rates, let's say bonds, approach a zero expected return, clearly their ability to go up in value or interest rates to go down in value is limited, or in order to have the impact, one has to leverage those a lot, and that's not desirable. But clearly through history. I studied the last 500 years of cycles, going back to the Dutch cycle in terms of the Bank of Amsterdam and that whole cycle. In all cases, central banks will print money and devalue money when they get in that course. The basic problem of a depression is basically a debt liquidity problem. And so always through history, the choice will be reflation, even when you hit interest rates in the way that we're seeing now. And so to understand that the nature of the diversifying asset has shifted to be of the sort that I'm describing in terms of other assets that at that particular time benefit from reflation, because it will be reflate or die. And so we will always see reflation. And that's why in history, you see that all currencies have devalued or died over a period of time, particularly in such periods. We're in a new paradigm.
So needless to say, that was very, very concerning. I've listened to it just now for the third time. And it is. I mean, we are in a very bad, very precarious situation. And it behooves those, especially, you know, look, for as I've said, I think in the, well, I don't know if I mentioned the difference in financial classes in the first segment today, but I have mentioned before that if you are sitting there, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe you got a little bit of savings, or, you know, depending upon your situation, for the vast majority of Americans, I'm not suggesting going out and investing a bunch of money in stuff. I would say, you know what, get food, water, and ammunition and medicine. Food, water, ammunition, medicine, and survival supplies. That's what you should be investing in as your extra, any extra money you've got, put it towards that. But for those who have a substantial retirement, you know, I don't know, 50K, 100K, 250K, $1 million. If you have a substantial retirement that you need to protect, or if you have wealth, you know, you have investments that you need to protect, there's a few things that you should do. And again, not a financial advisor. I want to be clear about that. If I have to continue to say it, I will. What I'm referring to are people that are smarter than me, much smarter than me, when it comes to this stuff, and I refer to them. You know, for those who don't, maybe you're new to the channel, I appreciate you coming. Make sure to subscribe. But for those who maybe not know this, you know, my sponsors have always been selected after the fact. In other words, I pick sponsors based upon what I think we need as a nation. At the time, you won't hear me pushing, I don't know, I don't even know what other show hosts push nowadays. What, Viagra? Is that still a thing? I wouldn't know. You know what I'm saying? You know what, okay. Anyway, no, you know, I pick my sponsors. It's like, you know, I had, for example, those long-term food storage supplies. I didn't start bringing them on as sponsors until like 5 or 6 months ago. Okay, so it's not like I was pushing long-term food storage in 2020 or even most of 2021. That's all new to me. A couple of the other sponsors, we do have two gold sponsors, and I've talked to so many gold companies and precious metals companies over the last few years or last year that it's not even funny. I used to ignore them. They would call, they would always contact me, email me, call, someone text. It's like, hey, you should be selling our precious metals. Okay. I ignored them because I didn't really think it was that big of a deal. It wasn't something that I thought was necessary until, again, approximately a year ago. That's when I started taking it seriously. And I was able to find two gold companies, one big, one little. And that's the people ask me, why do you have two? That's the very reason. You know, for me, my first gold sponsor that we accepted, they, you know, came across as an America First company. I researched them for months to make sure because they were small. And I thought, you know, I don't want to be sending my readers, my listeners, my viewers, anybody who's listening to me, I don't want to send them to somebody that they can't trust. So over a year ago, I started talking to Our Gold Guy, Ira. You can find him at OurGoldGuy.com. You can contact him. They're a small company, and they will give you personal service. They will help you to buy physical precious metals. Okay? The second one, though, and the reason that I had the second company is, you know, we just had to. Some people would say, look, I love you, I trust you, but, you know, my bank didn't want me to work with small companies and, you know, or whatever. Some people just aren't comfortable with that. I would buy from Ira myself because, like I said, I know him, I trust him. If and when someday, Lord willing, I can start buying precious metals, he's who I'm going to. But some people, I assume a lot of you, you're looking for size. You're looking for stability. You know, if you're going to be sending $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 to a company, you want to make sure that they are you know, long-term reputable, been around forever, able to take care of you. That's why we brought Goldco on as a company. You can find them at jdrucker.com/goldco. Very important, by the way. They don't do like, oh, you know, tell them JD Rucker sent you. They don't do that. If you just say, oh, you know, hey, JD Rucker sent me, and you go to goldco.com or whatever their website is, be like, okay, thanks. And then it doesn't help me at all. The only way to help me is to go to jdrucker.com/goldco. That will take you to their website. And then you'll be able to get your free gold IRA kit. Okay, they're a bigger company. And I know some people appreciate that. Both companies, by the way, you know, I've been hit up by companies that are promising humongous money. But then I research them, and they're some attachment to the Chinese Communist Party. I'm very good at research. Or I research them, and I find, oh, so their CEO is donating to the Democrats. Okay, I'm not going to do that. I refuse. I work with companies that are aligned with my values, and I hope many of your values. That's why if you're interested in preserving your retirement, preserving your wealth, go to ourgoldguy.com or jdrucker.com/goldco. That's ourgoldguy.com or jdrucker.com/goldco. But I played the anonymous video. I said, you know, diversity, keep that in mind. We just brought on a new sponsor, and I'm not going to say much about it because, well, again, I'm not a financial advisor. But when it comes to diversity, this is the first thing that I thought of. It's masstortfinancing.com. I'll just throw that out there. Masstortfinancing.com. They take on, they help with class action lawsuits against Big Pharma, against Bayer and Monsanto and whoever. Okay, that's what they do. And this is a type of investment that for the longest time, it's been around forever, but it's always been kind of exclusive to hedge funds and institutional investors. Today, now it's available to the rest of us, or at least you can. This, if you have, you know, if you're an accredited investor, you got $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 you want to invest, you should check out masstortfinancing.com. After the break, we will go to the story I was referring to before regarding food shortages again, but this time it's a little bit where we're starting to see the crap hitting the fan and heading its way towards the United States of America, so stay tuned.
Mike Lindell needs your support. Get the maximum possible discount at MyPillow.com by using promo code JDR or calling 1-800-862-0382. That's promo code JDR or call 1-800-862-0382. Have you taken the jab? Could you have been exposed to those who have been jabbed and may be shedding on you? Dr. Zev Zelenko's ZDetox formula makes your immune system clean, resilient, and resistant. Visit zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
Sometimes I do feel like my warnings are going unheeded, not because it's, you know, any feedback. The feedback that I get from you all, and you can always send me feedback at jdrucker@substack.com. The feedback that I get from you all is generally, I would say, 95% positive. I've been very blessed with such a wonderful, and as I always say, extremely intelligent audience. I do believe that you all are the most intelligent audience in the world. And that's not just me blowing smoke, that's also me saying this sincerely, because it takes legit intelligence for you to be willing to open your mind, especially in days like today. You know, there was a time when, not too long ago, when, you know, being a conspiracy theorist or talking about economic collapse, or, you know, I would even rail against those people. But now I'm starting to realize I was wrong. They were right in many ways. The Alex Joneses, the Mike Adams, the Stu Peters, the the Michael Snyders of the world. And we're about to read a part of an article from Michael Snyder that is very beneficial. I don't want to use the word bow because I only bow to one. Lord, he is who I would bow to, but I do at least give major kudos to Michael Snyder for being able to come up with a lot of it. And he really is doing the research on what's happening, not just here in the United States, but across the globe. And this article, its title, Rationing Has Already Started in Europe as the Entire Globe Plunges into a Horrific Economic Nightmare. And that's so true. But today I want to make sure the reason that I'm doing this particular segment, this particular episode, is because we need people to break out of the spell, okay? You know somebody like this. You know the collapse deniers or the downturn deniers or the recession deniers. You're surrounded by them. There are far too many of them out there, people that either, one, they don't know what's going on, or two, they see what's going on, but they think that it's going to be better. As America, let's face it, the reality is this. Even when things are horrific, as they were, for example, economically speaking, in 2008, 2009, you know, even during those times, we have grown so complacent as a nation. It's like, well, you know, okay, so the stock market's down, so wealth is lost. Does it really affect me? Okay, as long as my gas prices are low, as long as my food prices aren't skyrocketing, as long as rent's not going up, mortgages aren't going up, you know, we generally tend to say, oh, you know what, it's going to get better. It'll get better. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, don't worry, you know, 2024, we'll vote in Trump or DeSantis or whoever, and Kamala and Joe will be history. Or, hey, don't worry, you know, when the Republicans take control of the House and the Senate, things are going to be better. Folks, we need people to be aware of the severity of the problem worldwide right now, today, because it's not going to get any better. And there's no saving us through elections. We have to start being prepared for what's coming. And the reason that this is so important, this isn't just about, oh, you know, we got to be help our fellow man, our fellow American citizens. No, it's not just that. We need people to be aware so that they're ready to fight if necessary. We need people to be aware so that they're prepared today or very soon so that they won't be standing in breadlines, so they won't be beholden to government. We need allies to get through this, to potentially fight it and prevent it, and if necessary, to help to rebuild the nation after things go south. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my gosh, it's a foregone conclusion. Everything's going to go bad. I'm just fighting against those who say, don't worry, everything's going to get back to normal soon, or everything's going to be better soon, or everything. I don't see that happening. If it does, praise the Lord, because only the Lord, I think at this point, could possibly make things, turn things around. It will take divine intervention to fix this. And I don't want to say, oh, you know, that's not going to happen. I will not speak, you know, on God's intentions here. But I will say this, it certainly does seem as if we're heading towards some sort of massive collapse, and it's trickling on us in many ways, and then it's flooding on us in others. Of course, you know, we've seen the food prices going up. They're not done. We've seen gas prices going up. They're not done. There's an article that just came in. I didn't get to read the article. I was going live, but I did see the headline. Apparently, in Germany, they're running out of stoves, wood-burning stoves. Why? Because people are scared that they're not going to be able to either afford or even have access to natural gas from Russia to be able to heat their homes, and they think that they're going to freeze to death if they can't get stoves. So now that's the big thing in Germany right now, stoves, and that's Germany. We're not talking about, you know, some third world nation. Germany is supposed to be one of the trendsetters, especially in Europe. Amongst the European nations, Germany is supposed to be the one that should have all their crap together. And they seem to be the ones that are falling apart the most. Why? Because someday I'll go into exactly why. Because they did get in bed with Russia in a very hard way through past prime ministers. And it was just a debacle. Germany set themselves up for this current collapse they're in the middle of experiencing. But again, we'll talk about that. That's a long story. We'll talk about that some other day. It's actually quite interesting. But it's not going to help us to heat our homes, to fuel our cars, to feed our families today. So we'll save that for hopefully a better day when we can talk about history instead of our gloomy future. So according to this article from Michael Snyder, if countries in Europe are already beginning to ration certain things due to supply problems, how long will it be before it starts happening in the United States? up until the past couple of years, many of us in the Western world always considered shortages to be something that only unsophisticated, poor countries on the other side of the planet had to deal with. But the last couple of years have shown us that painful shortages can happen to wealthy countries in the Western world, too. At first, we were told that they were just temporary. But the months went by, and we just kept having more and more shortages. In fact, in 2022, supply problems have become so serious that many supermarkets in Europe have been forced to strictly ration essential items at various times. For example, it was being reported that due to the war in Ukraine, flour, sunflower oil, and sugar were all being rationed by stores in Greece. And there's a explaining or a story, part of it from it's from the National Herald that describes that happening. Moving on, over the past few months, we've seen similar measures implemented in other major European nations as well. For example, allegedly the war in Ukraine prompted some pretty severe rationing in Spain, and that links to an article over at fortune.com, where, again, it's always the Ukraine, it's always Russia's fault. It's not because the supply chains were already breaking long before Russia ever invaded Ukraine. It's not because inflation was already rising long before Russian troops set foot in Ukraine. It's always, they've got to find an excuse, because otherwise people will start asking real questions, such as, why was the supply chain allowed to break as badly as it was? Why have we never broken free of being beholden to countries like Russia, like China? Those are questions that nobody wants to answer. Back to the article. Looking forward, natural gas rationing is the next big thing that many people in Europe are talking about. The flow of Russian natural gas into Europe has been cut back, and it appears that this may cause widespread rationing in Italy. And this is another article from Fortune that talks about that. Now, of course, I'll link to this if you want to dive into the details. So I want to get to the nuts and bolts of this. And CNN is reporting that Germany is one step closer to rationing supplies. And that, of course, links to CNN. The reason that this is so important for us here in America, it's not just because these are allies, these are Western nations we're talking about. You know, there are repercussions. We do live in a global economy, and you don't have to be a globalist to say, okay, so if you participate in a global economy, that can be beneficial. Now, I don't want to be, he's talking about globalism. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, properly utilizing global markets. We've never done that as a nation. We've always been, second fiddle to everybody else. It's like, we've got so much money, we're okay with getting screwed over by other nations. Donald Trump comes in, starts to change that. I think that he would have done even more, had he gotten a second term, and Lord willing, he'll get his shot to change things after the 2024 election, or maybe even sooner if we can get voter fraud proved. But you guys get the idea. I'm not suggesting that we need a globalist economy. What I am suggesting is that when you have a nation, when we need things and we can trade things with other nations to get them, we should do that. What we've done instead is we've really just, we've allowed special interests, government, agencies and bureaucracies and corrupt people throughout Washington, D.C. and beyond to basically force us to be beholden to other nations. That should never happen, not least for the United States of America. We should be, and we were on track to be during the Trump years, we should be the most independent nation in the world. We should be literally, if anybody pisses us off, we should be able to say, forget you, we're out of here. And that includes even with China, who we are so dependent on, even with Russia, which we're partially dependent on. We should be independent. We're not. Now that we understand what's at stake, we have to understand that what we're seeing in Europe, these are harbingers of what can and almost certainly will happen here in the United States. Folks, wake up. Get ready. Scarcity is here. Inflation is here. But if things get better, awesome. Praise God. Don't expect that, though. Don't plan on that happening. Don't be like, don't worry, we'll make it through to the other end. Change things in your life today. Start getting skinnier. I'm not just talking about physically getting skinnier, even though that's happening to a lot of us. I'm talking about getting skinnier with your profile, making sure that you are preserving what you can. If you're a conservative, that should be already in your nature. Make sure that you are prepared for the coming whatever it is. I don't want to say collapse, economic collapse, societal collapse, but it certainly could be one of those things or even something worse. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. In the meantime, you know, stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.
Do you trust the Biden regime to stop our economy from collapsing?
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Neither do we, which is why we highly recommend OurGoldGuy.com. IRA will help you purchase physical precious metals to preserve your wealth or retirement. Visit OurGoldGuy.com today. The current food crisis is only going to get worse. Now is the time to secure long-term food you can store at home so you'll never stand in the government's breadlines. Visit jdrucker.com/food. That's jdrucker.com/food.